Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, 13th chapter. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather you, to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks. But you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. So I'm sitting in my apartment yesterday, minding my own business, and I get a phone call, yes, Pastor PJ and Glenn have the flu, and Pastor Gary is on vacation. So put me in, coach. And I'm glad that there's a prompt up there, "What's next?" Because it just, that's kind of existential right now. My name is Stephen Bowman. I'm trying hard to flunk retirement. I served 20 years parishes in New York City, served as the bishop there for 12 years, and for the last 10 years have been the director for the domestic missions of the ELCA. It's wonderful to be back in a parish, and it's wonderful to be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. The setting for the novel by Albert Camus called The Plague is a city in North Africa cut off from the world by an outbreak of the plague. Hundreds die each day, and among the living, all joy has since departed. One of the characters looks into a shop window at Christmas, remembering his wife's face and knowing he would soon never see her again. Camus provides this reflection by a doctor who witnesses the scene. The doctor knew what the old man was thinking as his tears flowed and thought it too, that a loveless world is a dead world. And always there comes an hour when one is weary of life's prisons, of one's work and devotion to duty, and all one craves for is a loved face, the warmth and wonder of a human heart. A loved face. That's what the psalmist craves for in our psalm today. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, and be gracious to me and answer me. Come," my heart says, "seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me." That is what we crave and long for as we gather for worship today, the loved face of Jesus, a loving, gracious God. And our gospel for today gives us a picture of the loved face for which we long. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I've desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." Today we see the loved face of God as a mother, longing to love her children and protect them. An anguished mother hen who would gather her chicks under her wing. A mother and her daughter from Ecuador joined the parish I served in Queens. The mother was a proud woman with a high value for family, religion, and education. She worked hard to make a life for her daughter in America. Cecilia, her daughter, was caught between two worlds. She refused to speak Spanish at home. She ran wild and free in the streets while her mother worked. Their life became a series of confrontations, truces, inexorable downward drift. The drama of two worlds reached a climax in their living room of their small apartment. The police had caught Cecilia in a drug raid in the park across the street. She got off with a warning. After the officer departed their apartment, Cecilia bitterly spat out, "You don't understand. Let me live my own life. I don't want to be some stupid old immigrant like you. I hate you." The mother raised her hand and then just put it down. She went to the window and looked out at the playground where her daughter got high. She turned around and faced her with a look of such anguish, I had to turn away. Oh, Jerusalem. Jerusalem. "All right," she said, "we'll leave tonight. I'm sending you to boarding school in Ecuador, even if I have to sell everything I own. I will not allow you to destroy your life. How I love you. How much I want to share the life together, but you don't care. You don't care." I took them to the airport. On the way to the car, the mother fell apart. I held her as she cried her eyes out. Her daughter watched in stony, sullen silence. I never saw them again. Cecilia was 13 years old. "Sometimes during the Agnus Dei, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us." I think of Cecilia and her mother. In our gospel for today, Jesus is approaching Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives overlooking the city. His loved face is overcome with emotion as he looks at the city, and his love flows as the face and love of a mother hen longing to protect and love her brood. Remember last week we were in the wilderness. Jesus was tempted. He turned his face towards Jerusalem, and in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus goes from Galilee and heads to Jerusalem, where he will give his life for the world and for you and for me. On that spot where the city came into view, on the Mount of Olives, is a beautiful little chapel. It's run by simple brown-robed Franciscans who spend their time in meditation, prayer, and loving hospitality to pilgrims who enter it. The name of the chapel is Dominus Flavit, which means Jesus wept. Jesus began his ministry in the poor but beautiful area around the Sea of Galilee in the north of Israel, and the Gospels, as I said, are about his journey to Jerusalem. Along the way, there's much controversy. His home folks reject him. His close friends and disciples don't get it. He's having great difficulty in understanding what his mission is about. The religious authorities are in continual conflict over his claim to be the Messiah, the one sent from God. On the journey, he is touched again and again by poverty, disease of the people whom he loves so deeply. And there are threats from the civil authorities. In our gospel for today, he's warned off his mission by those who tell him that Herod, the Roman puppet, is out to get him. And Jesus said, "Tell that fox, I'm going to do what I'm going to do." And in the Hebrew, the word for fox basically means a windbag, somebody full of hot air. In other words, Jesus is not intimidated. And he talks about this day and the next day and the third day. He's talking about Good Friday through Easter. He's there He's all in. His love overflowing. He finally arrives to the Mount of Olives. And on the spot where the simple chapel of Dominus Flavit stands, in the Gospel of Matthew it says that Jesus wept. And in Luke it says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem." There's this beautiful chapel. This is Jesus' first view of the city of David, the symbol of all God's covenant promises. After dealing with Herod's threat, he speaks the pain in his heart. This is the city which had always been a symbol for God's chosen people, for their special relationship with God. It's a place which symbolized their heart's desire and hope when they were in exile. It symbols God's renewal of the covenant when they rebuilt the temple during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. It symbolized the cosmic importance of their faith, a new Jerusalem, which would be a place of refuge for all the world in the love of the Creator. Jerusalem, in Hebrew, Yerushalayim, city of peace. Jesus broke down and cried at the sight of it. For this is the city which sentenced the prophet Jeremiah to death when he spoke the truth about God and sin and repentance. It was a city whose elders and religious leaders were plotting to kill him. It was a city whose masses had endured nothing but heartache and bloodshed. And it was a time now when the people were oppressed by windbags like Herod. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Can you imagine Jesus saying that today? O Christ Church. Christ Church, where scores were killed while worshiping. Oh, Chicago and Chicagoland, where our children are killing each other, where there's addiction, where there's such gracelessness. Oh, Naperville, Naperville. Anyone who's ever loved a son or daughter and had that love despised and rejected can enter into the heart of Jesus as he said on the Mount of Olives, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you. How often I would have gathered you under my wings, but you would not." Such mother love. The chapel on the Mount of Olives, you sit on beautiful, rough-hewn pews. I had the privilege of presiding at Holy Communion in this place. Like here, the altar's against the wall. And there's the shape of a chalice, a large window. And outside the window, you see what Jesus saw. You see the rooftops. You see the city spread out before you. So as I am blessing the bread and the wine, I am seeing, and all the people are seeing, what broke Jesus' heart. How he loved the people. After the liturgy, I looked out the window, and I thought of my own ministry. I thought of my kids. I thought of the times that I'd let people down. I thought of Maria. Maria, a young mother, whose husband was killed in a drug beef in Upper Manhattan. She was living with her 5-year-old son, Ricky. Sometimes they stayed in an abandoned car. Sometime the street. She called from a welfare motel. She asked if I could help her. As I pulled up onto the parking lot, this little buster comes running out at me. He saw my collar, and I think he must have known that that meant money or something, because he just started, "Give me the money!" He just started screaming, and he wouldn't stop. "Give me the money! Give me the money!" And we, as we went into his home, his room. His mother Maria just looked up. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He kept screaming. He kept telling me to shut up as his mother was trying to tell me about her life, what was going on. And finally I said, no, you be quiet. And I airlifted him onto my lap, put my hand on his shoulder, and he was quiet. And as his mother talked to me about the destruction of her life and her child, he nestled. He put his head on my chest. He just allowed me, like a mother hen, to protect him. The psalmist pleads for a loved face. When Maria looked at me as I was getting ready to leave, her face said everything. I can't do this. She just looked at her boy and melted. Everyone who has ever stood over the bed of a child and watched them sleep, how much we love them. Our hearts go out to them. How would we protect them from the harshness of life if only we could? How much we want for them. Everyone who's ever experienced this has their own glimpse into the face of God and the heart of Jesus, who stood over the city and wept. That is how much Jesus loves you and me, and even more. This is the love Jesus offers us at the altar, given and shed for you. Do you hear our Lord on this day call out to you and to me? Oh, Naperville. Oh, Good Shepherd. Oh, children of God. On this second Sunday of Lent, it is a call to repentance. The Son of God, through his death and resurrection, would gather you and me and protect us and redeem us as a hen gathers her chicks. That is the mission and ministry of Good Shepherd, as you share the faith from generation to generation and reach out with God's hand, God's heart, and become the loved face for so many in this world who long for a glimpse of some hope and some grace. Whether it's Africa or around the corner. In Lent, we ask God for mercy and forgiveness. We would stop the tears of Jesus with a renewal of our own faith and life. Dominus flavit, Jesus, our mother hen, wept for you and for me.